This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
9:03 on this Saturday morning. Time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Mark Steeren, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. By Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By DC Waste and Recycling. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And on this Saturday morning, September the 1st, we join WSMI's Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
What happened in August?
I don't know.
Where'd it go?
Disappeared. We had two August football games.
I know.
That doesn't happen very often.
Very rare. And they were both relatively cool August football games. And happy to have Dan Newkirk in studio. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Tim. Dave, how are we doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful.
Hey, you had a nice long night at Vandalia last night.
Which Gary and I, that's been kind of par for the course here lately, that it's our third time in a row we've been there and had delays. It was an interesting situation. We're calling the game. We look down. They run a play. We look down to write the stats down. We look up, and the teams are walking off the field, and it was very confusing about what happened. I didn't have a real good view of the scoreboard, so I look around thinking, I know we're past halftime. What's going on? And there had been a lightning strike, so we had a 30-minute delay.
I missed it whenever you guys were talking about it back here engineering the game. You all of a sudden went to a break, and I was like, well, what exactly happened?
Yeah, you had the same heads-up we had, so it was confusing for a second there, and kind of had to think on our feet and just roll with it. But
we played in a pretty consistent rain. We played. The Carlinville Gillespie played in a pretty consistent rain last night at Gillespie. Into the first half, a light miss. In the third quarter, it rained pretty good, but it was never any type of storm, never any type of lightning, so we didn't have an actual delay. But I get in my car to go home, and I'll be darned if you guys are still going. Yeah. It's like 9:30. Like, what happened?
Right. And we didn't see anything, and the sky seemed clear. We did not have any rain throughout the night like you guys had. And I talked to Ron Diefendorfer, and he said that there was some heat. There was some of that heat lightning that's real high and in the distance. IHSA is such a, Southern Illinois about 15 years ago, had a young man walking across the football field on a clear blue day and hit by lightning and killed just out of nowhere. And I think it shook them a little bit. And so they really emphasize that. So I think all the officials are, it's impressed on them that, what's the term? If you hear it roar, go indoors.
Yeah.
But there was no thunder.
Right.
I mean, we had no thunder. We had no just.
It's hard to argue with safety.
Oh, it is.
It really is.
It is.
Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Mr. Chad Easterday. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How are we this morning?
Hey, we're doing all right. We were just talking. They had a lightning delay in Vandalia last night. Now, no such thing in Gillespie last night, but there was a steady rain most of the second half, and that always makes the game interesting, does it not?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the weather forecast wasn't calling for that, but we got a little bit of it. That's typical Illinois weather, that's for sure. So,
Chad, that game last night, late in the first half, just about 2:15 to go, it's a 14-7 game, and then you guys exploded. What changed?
Well, we had a few mental mistakes there early on in the game, had a few penalties, had a blown coverage a little bit, didn't get our feet going underneath of us right out of the gate very early, so... it took us a little bit to settle in. I think we shot ourselves in the foot on a few fourth downs, didn't cover a fake punt, things like that. So I was very pleased with our team that we didn't get rattled, and we kind of stayed the course, so to speak, and came alive there toward the end of the second quarter and definitely the third quarter.
The special teams coach inside you, Chad, couldn't have been happy with that fake punt conversion.
No. No, that's definitely something we're going to work on this week. So I thought our kickoff coverage was a little shaky at times, and then it was great other times. So, those things happen. We just got caught. And, as I told the kids, it happens. It happens to the best of us, and we'll do a better job of coaching and playing next week. So,
You mentioned the penalties, Chad, and you kind of had a variety of them. You had some false starts. You had some holding and pass interference penalties, and you had some personal foul penalties. So I would imagine that was a major focal point when you talked to your team.
Yeah, officials are officials. Every crew is different. It was hard in that first half, and I'll be interested to hear Coach Philbrook's opinion to get in the flow of the game at all. Mm-hmm. It seemed like we had a lot of downtime and those types of things. So, it is what it is. You can't change it now, and you got to play through it as we did, and that's what we told them during the timeout, and they play, and we can complain a little bit. So
that's right. That's just part of it. That's how it goes. As We were up there calling the game last night. You guys really had a concerted effort running the football, and my goodness, did your offensive line do a fantastic job of opening up great space.
Yeah, you know, I said last night after the game, I don't know, somebody had asked me how, why we ran the ball so much this week versus last week, and I, you know, the old coaching saying goes that you take what they give you, and I know people get tired of hearing that, they think it's a fake thing, but, you know, it can be that simple. And I thought our offensive line did a great job of taking advantage of some numbers in there that we had counted on and those types of things. So Jared did a great job of getting us in those situations. So, you know, overall was very impressed with us up front, both the pass protection and the run blocking.
And that's what has made you guys really such a tough cover the last several years is exactly that. If they take away the pass, you run. If they take away the run, you pass. And when you have the variety of weapons that you have, in a lot of ways, Chad, you guys can become unguardable for a good chunk of a game.
Well, I'd like to think so at times. I guess it's as long as you can block and throw it and catch it, I guess those things are awesome. So, you know, but you are correct. You know, we are blessed with a great group of skill kids. We're deep there. We're deep on the offensive line. We're rotating two to three guys in there on series rotations. So, you know, like you said, if the situation occurs where this can happen, we can do this. If this happens, we can do that. So I was very happy to see our kids buying into that philosophy. You know, week one, we threw the ball all over the lot. This week, we were able to run the ball. Next week, it could be a combination of the two or three different things. So hopefully that's hard for our opponents to plan for.
Chad, I thought defensively last night up front, Jonathan Stillwell had a nice ball game for you.
Yes. You know, we rotate three guys in there. We have six guys for three spots. So we always have fresh legs in there. I thought we did a real good job of stopping the run. To be honest with you, we did a pretty good job of stopping the pass. We had that blown, you know, catch in the end zone there, but that was set up on some penalties. So as I was telling the guys at the halftime, you know, our defensive philosophy is to play that hard run stopping, and we play man coverage sometimes, and those things happen. But you've got to stay away from the penalties.
It's not often that your secondary gets outfought for the football, but it happened a couple times last night. But with Cravagna and Taylor, those are both two highly skilled kids on Gillespie's side.
Yeah, we knew that going in, just like last week with Greg. So I think those are things we try to game plan for, and then take our gambles if we want to blitz or we want to do certain things. And we just, that's a percentage. So we play the math numbers there, and they got us on a few, but then we got them on a few as well. So hopefully that averages out by the end of the game.
And Chad, it's an interesting year for you in the sense that you have so many seniors who have had so much success. So with that in mind, you have to be very happy with the way they've started the season.
Yeah. I mean, by all means, no coach in their right mind is going to complain about being 2-0. That's for sure. So, you know, I'm very proud of them. I think they've handled the stress and this whole seniors and we should be winning and that sort of thing. So, you know, they're a very composed group. It's hard to tell if they're ready to play or not sometimes, but they're kind of stoic a little bit. So, you know, I like them a lot, and they do a good job of handling those situations.
Chad, one of the great things you've done in your 11th year now is you never overlook anybody. You take it week to week. Now, everybody knows what Litchfield has been going through this summer and into the first part of the year. So how will you make sure that your kids don't look ahead to Paynham?
And once again, I know people get tired of hearing the same thing. I think you stick to the game plan. You know, Monday's practice is Monday's practice. That we are pretty ritual on the things that we do. We work against each other. We put ones against ones. You know, Litchfield has some good players. They may not have a collective group right now that's really syncing together or those types of things, but they still have good athletes on the team, and you still have to prep for those things. And the schemes are schemes. And you can get beat just like we did last night on a fake punt if you're not paying attention and those types of things. So I think that'll be our approach this week. I know that they have some kids that were late coming out, and that may be a difference. We don't know who they are or if they mix in or whatever. So, you know, I think we prepare as we do any other week.
All right. Chad Easterday, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers. And Dan, what Carlinville has built, they've always been a great football program, but Chad has taken it to another level these last 3 to 4 years.
Oh, absolutely, and it starts up front. Yeah. The offensive lines that they've been able to put on the field the last few years really allows them the freedom to play call, to be creative. You know, he talks about taking what the defense is giving, but the football aficionado knows that starts up front.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to have the time to give your quarterback to pass if that's what they're giving you. You got to have the linemen open up the holes if that's what they're giving you. And that's where I think the biggest difference been the last few years is those guys up front have just done an outstanding job for the Cavaliers.
They are big, strong, yeah, and fast,
yeah,
up front. And, you know, I've heard Don Borgini say it over the years, and, you know, every football coach will say it. Football comes down to blocking and tackling. If you're blocking well and tackling well, it's going to end well for you more times than not. And I think when you saw Hillsborough last night against Vandalia, their tackling maybe wasn't normal topper tackling.
Yeah, not quite to the caliber that we're used to. We talked about that before the game, in the pregame. You know, Vandalia, and we've had the Vandalia-Hillsborough game several times, and one of the things you really look forward to is how physical of a high school football game it is. And it just did not quite meet that expectation that we were used to. Now, granted, and in their defense, they're playing Trevor Smalls, who is maybe as elusive of a runner as there is in the South Central Conference. He's hard to get hands on, and when you do, he's hard to bring down. So, in their defense, you know, and Smalls gets the lion's share of the carries and the offense for them, and he can make very good tacklers look bad.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we hope to catch up with Hillsborough coach Aaron Duff when Sports Saturday returns.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Don't forget, Fighting Illini football coming up this morning. Illinois kicks off the season at home against Kent State. Kickoff at 11, pregame coverage 10 o'clock this morning on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. And Dan, we were just talking in the break, but after you saw Vandalia last night, you came away very impressed, and you saw some similarities to the Carthenville offense and to what Vandalia is doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a lot of formations, a lot of ways, and they have a lot of very similar personnel. You got Tucker Hughes on one side, you got Trevor Smalls on the other. You've got Dixon on one side, you've got Morrison on the other, and just a very talented receiving core. Very big and athletic up front, a tall, rangy quarterback that throws a great ball, and it's difficult to know which team I'm describing. Mm-hmm. I think there's been some pattern. Great compliment, you know, imitation being the greatest of compliments, and I think that Vandalia's taken notice of how well Carlinville's competed on offense, seeing that they have some similar personnel. I think they've tried to replicate a lot of the things that they're doing over in Carlinville, and they're doing it very well.
Joining us right now is Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff. Good morning, Duffy.
Morning.
Well, that was a long night in Vandalia last night.
Yeah, yep, sure was.
As you kind of assess the ball game last night, what did you see when you looked at film? What did you tell your team?
I told them last night that, you know, that even though we lost, you know, and that we did make a lot of strides from week one. We cut down on a lot of turnovers. We moved the ball. Thought we did a lot of good things out there. I told them, you know, we are a young team. And when I mean that, I mean, like, experience wise. And, you know, the first two games, we have played two good football teams, very tough for a whole half. You know, we were only down 12-0 at half. But I think our experience level shows as the game wears on.
Yeah, and Aaron, last night, you know, like you said, in the first half, you held Trevor Smalls to just a little over 60 yards in the first half, did a really nice job containing him, had a lot of success running your fullback dive through the A-gap, and did a nice job on in-low early in the game. But, you know, whether it be fatigue or experience, things started kind of slipping as it went, but like you said, I think there's some stuff to build on there, you know, showing early what we did in the first half.
Yeah, definitely. We're getting there. You know, we did make improvements, worked on some things from Carlinville. And you know, a little bit is fatigue. You know, Vandalia is very big up front. They wear on you a little bit. Smalls is a very good running back. Their quarterback did a nice job. But, you know, we're just going to keep working. You know, we started off 0-2 last year. I think we played two of the top-tier teams in our conference, and we've gained some valuable experience these first 2 weeks. So, you know, we're still staying positive, and we're going to go, you know, keep working.
Diff, I know you're not necessarily a moral victory type of guy, but you just mentioned it. At Carthenville, at Vandalia to start the year, and at halftime both weeks, you were in the ballgame.
Yeah, you know, we're doing some things. Our younger guys are fighting. I talked a little bit about last night. When you lack that experience, you've got to learn how to have some mental toughness on the field when things go wrong. And that's all gained in experience, on Friday Night Lights and stuff. So, I'm still with our guys. They're gonna keep working hard, and we're gonna keep improving.
I tell you what, Coach, I don't think anybody's gonna argue with me with saying Jordan Gregg is one of the better defenders in the South Central Conference. When he went down on the Vandalia sideline, there was, and even on the Vandalia side, the respect for that young man, even from the opponents, there was just kind of a gasp that went out of the stadium, and just what a relief it was to see him come back in. Can you comment anything so far this morning on how he's doing? And he didn't seem to show, he wasn't moving his shoulder around or arm around or anything. He seemed to recover very well, but, Jordan's okay and looking good for next week?
As far as I know right now, I think he'll be okay. It was his elbow. I believe he hyperextended his elbow on a tackle. I think he's going to be all right. We're going to, our trainer's going to evaluate him and stuff. Just talk to him this morning and see what's going on. But, Jordan's the type of kid, if we have to hold him, out all week at practice and then go on Friday, he won't miss a beat.
Well, and that's good news for every South Central Conference football fan, because he is just such a joy to watch on the field, offensively and defensively. That's just great news. Great news.
Yeah. Yep. And, especially, a senior or anybody, but as a senior, you don't want to see them have any kind of injury to hold them out of their last year, football.
And especially a senior that's been so productive for you, really since his sophomore year. He's played a lot of football for you, Duffy.
Yes. Yeah. He's a big key to what we do. Really good kid.
Duff, you mentioned that you're moving the football, but you've had trouble actually putting the ball in the end zone. Is there, I guess, from a coaching perspective, there's not much you can do other than just hope that the execution and the ability to sustain drives comes along with the experience?
Yeah, it does. And we're running triple option, midline option this year. It's a little bit different. Quarterbacks, Landon Carroll's doing a good job. He's got to work on reading. There's a lot of stuff to it. And when you're dealing with, some guys and you're getting that experience, I sort of expect to be a little rough in the beginning, especially with the two teams, we started the season off. But I think execution wise, we're getting it. Our kids are getting to the right spot. Just a few little things, a few turnovers here, a couple penalties in the right spot. And, that momentum thing, is important, and when it breaks, it's hard to get back. But I really like what our kids are doing. This week, I thought we looked much better execution-wise.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then when Joy Light broke free on that post pattern and scored, there was just a collective relief where, and you could just see it on the kids, we get it,
yes.
we're plugging, and man, we got that one now, and now let's go. So that was great to get that monkey off the back.
Yes, yeah, for the kids and for me, so I didn't have to take any extra medication.
You finally get to play a home game next week, back-to-back home games for you. Staunton in 2 weeks, but Roxana next week. What do you see from the Shells?
I see an improved football team. It looks like they have some quickness. I haven't had a whole lot of the time to get it on film yet, because we've been breaking down from last night. But, it's going to be a war every week for us as we keep gaining that valuable experience and, working on holding on to the football. Finally we're at home we're going to just keep working.
Wade DeVries, the new coach at Roxana, being a Mont Olive guy, Macoupin County presence, come from Oakwood, where he did resurrect the Oakwood program and took him to the playoffs. So it is interesting to see what he's going to do with Roxana moving forward. So, big game this week, and I know being 1-2 is going to feel pretty good, I think.
That would be excellent, yeah. To get that one win there and get that would be so important for our guys.
Sure.
Aaron Duff, thank you for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. We've talked about Gillespie, the start they have at Vandalia, home to Carlinville at Payne next week. But for Hillsboro, at Carlinville, at Vandalia, you can't get tougher than that.
Well, it reminds me, back in several years ago, the way the schedule set up, Litchfield started off with Greenville and Hillsboro, and then finished with Carlinville. And at that time, that was a presence. And I've been through that before, and it's tough. You learn a lot about yourself. You know, that iron sharpening iron, and really knowing. But it's a tough way to start in a hole.
And Dan, I mean, you've been coaching a long time, so you know this. It's hard to not get down or get dejected. The coach can say, fellas, we're improving, we're doing the right things, but sometimes you just gotta have the positive result.
And there is. And there's the common sense side to it going into, like, you know, coach said they knew it was gonna be a tough start, starting with Carlinville and Vandalia, knowing how good of teams they are, and you can sell that common sense side, but, you know, these kids are competitors and it wears on you. You know, it's a great reason to get back into practice so and work hard. They're not overconfident. There's the positive things like that, but the wearing of the competitive side of it is hard to combat. There's no doubt about that.
And it's just hard, no matter what level you're playing at, to keep your confidence when things aren't going well.
Right. And it'd be another thing if we had those two tough losses, you know, but we put up 14 in this game and we put up maybe 17 in that game or whatever and showed some, but scoring one touchdown in the two games, you know, it's, you know, like Coach Duff alluded to it, you know, very kiddingly, it's rough. It wears on you, and losing games are one thing, but not finding the end zone, that's a whole nother level of, what can we do to improve? So,
as we look at some of the scores from last night, we mentioned Vandalia beat Hillsboro 41-6. Carlinville beat Gillespie 49-14. Both the Vandals and the Cavies now 2-0 on the young season. Pena improved to 2-0 last night. They took care of Roxana 55-6. Greenville got their first win of the year. They beat Staunton 40-14. So the Comets and the Bulldogs both 1-1 on the year. Southwestern beat Litchfield 53-0. Southwestern now 1-1 on the season. And Dan, it's just, we knew it going in. It's most likely going to be a long season for the Litchfield Purple Panthers here. Just hopefully they can kind of get better each and every week. But for Southwestern, it was a nice rebound for them after a opening week loss to Roxana. They beat Litchfield last night 53-0. And joining us on the phone now is Southwestern Piasaw Bird coach Pat Keith. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing well. And hey, everything is always a little brighter on a Saturday morning after a W, is it not?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely nicer when you get a win on Friday night, come Saturday morning. But yeah, I agree.
As you look back at last night, everybody knows the situation that Litchfield is in. But from the opponent's perspective, you still have to go out and execute and play well, and you did that last night.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I know Litchfield's down a little bit with some players, you know, lack of numbers and stuff. But Coach Pearl's doing a nice job over there, and you're exactly right. You know, still gotta play the game and execute and do things right to win a football game. So regardless of who you're playing, you still gotta do things well yourselves. I thought we got better last night, so step in the right direction.
As you look at your improvement from week one to week two, just from kind of the little things, you know, taking care of the football, penalties, those types of things, you had to like what you saw.
Yeah, I think we did a little better execution wise offensively. Defensively, same thing. You know, we had a little problem the first week doing some alignment issues and things like that. So yeah, definitely, I think we saw some things. Like I said, a step in the right direction. And like you said, it is very high school football. It's big. You know, it's little things are important. And you know, so trying to stress that to the kids about just every little thing matters. And you know, it coming to footwork or just alignment and all those type of things. So we're getting better. Like I said, too, you know, for these guys, it's a new system for them, both offensively and defensively, kind of a different mindset than what they've been in the past at Southwestern, because they've been more of a throwing team, and we're, you know, a little more ground-based, so it's been a little bit of a mindset change, but we're getting there. But a lot of good teams in our conference, so week to week, it's always a tough week, so we just got to get ourselves prepared for Staunton next week.
Coach, sometimes fans and just people in general want that instant gratification. They just think things are going to happen quickly, but you mentioned it. New system, new philosophy. So when you go into that first week of the season, there is just a lot of things that your kids haven't seen in a live game situation.
Right, definitely. And then, you know, that too, you know, for us this past season, the first week was a team that I was a coach at for 10 years. So that was a little change too, because they obviously had some knowledge of things we were going to do offensively, you know, some of the stuff we did while I was down at Roxana. But yes, definitely, I think just the mindset, the mind change of, you know, different coaching staff and different expectations and philosophies and just, you know, execution of things. So I think it's going to take some time. And, you know, you know, even being part of the conference. Southwestern lost a lot of athletic kids last year from skill positions, and they got a lot of guys that are playing varsity for the first time. So, you know, like you said last night, it was a good step in the right direction. Hopefully, our goal is to get better every week, you know, until the season ends here, and then just try to, you know, play as best we can on Friday night.
Coach, after the game, I didn't get a chance to see the game. I was over in Vandalia doing the Hillsboro Vandalia game, but I was talking to some friends last night afterwards, and they were talking about a bowling ball of a running back that you guys had that was just really, really difficult to stop. You want to take a second and just kind of talk about him a minute and throw him some love?
Yeah, I'm sure talking about Bobby Smith. He's a junior. He's a fullback. He's a short, stocky guy, and he, about 5'9", probably about 220, and he runs the ball hard, and you know, that's one of the key positions in our offense when we do things. So that's a plus for us. And you know, same thing there. You know, we're trying to create some depth there at that position with him and a couple of our guys, and also our wing back spot. So yeah, he had a nice game last night, and he did, you know, the same thing here. He did better this week of, you know, hitting the right spots and on the run plays. And last week he struggled a little bit of hitting some of the landmarks we set for our running backs in certain plays. And he did a good job this week, and our offensive line did a nice job too. So we're looking for good things from those guys in the future, and hopefully, like I said, just keep improving and having success and learning the game of football.
Yeah, I'm sure that was one guy that did not have a problem with the philosophy moving more towards the run than the throw. He did a little bit less pass pro and a little bit more running the ball, so I'm sure he's thrilled.
Right, no, definitely. Right, no doubt about it. But, you know, we that's one thing, though, too. You know, even though we're more of a run-based team, we still need to probably – obviously, we need to still work on our passing game. We have a new quarterback, too, coming back this, you know, this year. They had a guy that's been there, started for 3 or 4 years there. So he's learning, you know, like I said, learning the system, but also learning this about being a varsity quarterback. It's a tough position because, you know, it's kind of like being a pitcher in baseball or being a point guard in basketball. You know, you handle the ball every time, and that's kind of the key position everybody kind of watches. And so it's a tough spot to be in when you're a new guy coming in, and especially, you know, being the first year of varsity quarterback and also running a new system. So, I think he's doing a good job. Our quarterback position and our skill guys are learning, and we're getting better, hopefully. That's our main goal.
All right, Coach, you got your first win at Southwestern. Always good that get that under your belt. Congratulations, and best of luck next week at Staunton.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, Patrick Keith, the head coach of the Southwestern Pious Auberge. You know, Dan, he may be in his first year at Southwestern, but being familiar with the conference, boy, does that help Coach Keith just preparing week to week. He knows what Staunton had last year, and they're an up-and-coming team because he was preparing for them as the Roxana coach.
And I know there's sometimes some apprehension about making lateral moves in a conference, but there is that advantage of knowing you're bringing all your scouting tapes, everything with you as you go. And it'd be interesting to get his perspective on what it was like getting that emotional Roxana game out of the way week one. It's done. You know, even though they know or have a good idea what you're doing, at least they don't have anything on film on you. You get that out of the way week one. I'm sure Coach Keith's going to give me the politically correct answer, but
right. Boy,
I bet it would have been nice to get that win against the Shells.
He wanted that
one.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. Back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. Of course, we podcast all of our high school football games at WSMIRadio.com, and last night's contests are up and available right now. Vandalia, Hillsboro, Carlinville, Gillespie, as well as last week's games at WSMIRadio.com. And we had a gentleman who asked Carl DeBar last night during halftime about trying to get a hold of a copy of the junior high state basketball game from several years ago when Anthony Cravagna in that class, I think it was their seventh grade year. That is also available in our archives at WSMIRadio.com. So for the most part, I would say 98% of the games we've done over the years are available at WSMIRadio.com. Sometimes the logger doesn't work, Dan. Technical difficulties crop up from time to time.
Technology, my favorite thing in the world.
That's right, because it never fails.
Oh, never.
Never fails.
I read that on the internet once, so it must be
That's
true.
Right. It has to be true. It's on the internet. Yes, no doubt about it. So you can find all of our ball games at WSMIRadio.com. Those podcasts are free. As Tito would say, it's like a tin roof. It's on the house.
You know, not to change gears or anything, but up north of us, there was quite a football game, and the Glenwood Titans. And I don't know, maybe Dave's our historian. Maybe he knows how many years in a row has Sacred Heart won that game? And we know what the rivalry that is, but interesting that they pulled out a 4-point win, and that shook up the CSA a little bit.
That's why they play him, isn't it?
That's right. Gary Boga said the same thing. Perfect example of why they play the game.
You just never know. And, you know, we can sit here on Saturday mornings. We talk, you know, fans will sit around drinking their coffee in the morning. It's like, well, you know, they look at the schedule. Win.
Win.
Yeah, that's probably a loss. but you never know.
No. And that's one that no matter, it's kind of like that Gillespie-Carlinville Route 4 matchup. You know, I'm sure that Coach Leonard up at Sacred Heart Griffin does not look past that Glenwood game whatsoever, because there is such a natural rivalry to that, that it doesn't matter what the records are, it doesn't matter how good people actually are, how good they think they are. It's going to be a competitive game usually.
And that is a common denominator between all great coaches, especially in football, because you only play one game a week. But whether it's Carlinville with Chad Easterday, Rochester with Derek Leonard, SHG with Ken Leonard, they don't look past anybody. You don't win at the consistent level they win at by overlooking opponents.
Well, and they've been knocked off.
Yeah.
You know, they've been in that situation where they went into a Friday not feeling good about the practice because they knew their kids were looking past the team and ended up losing the game. So, the constant from year to year is that head coach and the experience that he brings from past things that he can really, gear up practice that week, especially in an emotional week like the Chatham game, you know, for SHG, for the Gillespie game, for Carlinville. And they know to tune up the intensity a little bit, just to try to bring out some natural competitiveness, because it's going to be tough.
And that's a huge advantage that Carlinville has in the South Central this year, their depth of talent. So their practices are so competitive.
Coach Easterday commented about that they're going ones-on-ones. It reminds me back when we were in Bolingbrook coaching, and we were completely platooned. You know, so we had the number one rushing defense in the Chicagoland area, and we had the number two rushing offense. And so when these two teams pounded heads against each other, and by the time we got to Friday or Saturday for the game, it was a day off,
right,
because they played the number one team in the Chicagoland area all week. So when you have that situation, how do you not win? How are you not successful?
Right.
You know, you just stay out of your own way, and it's funny how the wins just keep coming in, and once you get that ball rolling, holy cow, it's a lot of fun. It's just fun as they're enjoying
it
over there.
In the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac picked up their first win of the year. They beat Porta 31-8. The Auburn Trojans off to a 2-0 start. They beat Pittsfield 49-8. Athens down Pleasant Plains 36-15. Williamsville now 2-0. They beat Riverton 55-6. And Murrah Forsyth over New Berlin to improve the 2-0. They won 35-7. And looks like Auburn might be primed for another vintage type of Auburn year.
Wow, did you have them last year for a game? We had them against North Mac, in which North Mac was really kind of rolling a little bit. Auburn had a rough start, but they'd started with Athens, I think Williamsville, and Murrah Forsyth, and needed a win to get on track, and they just took it to North Mac with, I think, 9 sophomores starting on defense. Well, those kids are juniors now.
Right.
Those kids are juniors now, so they may still be young, but they're a young, experienced team, and they're going to be a force to reckon with in that conference.
Boy, and in high school, when you play as a sophomore, the growth between that sophomore and junior, probably the biggest year of growth in a lot of different ways.
Oh, physically, confidence, emotionally, there's no question about it. Expectations in self or from community and parents all goes up, and it is. Sophomore to junior year is just such a huge leap for a football player.
In the Prairie State Conference, still playing non-conference football in week 2, Central A&M went into Nokomis, beat Nokomis 49-7. South Mac now 0-2 on the year. They lost to Sangamon Valley 40-7. South Mac has had some tough injuries here to start the year. Pawnee lost to Clinton. Clinton won it 54-8. Oakland Tri-County beat South Fork 15-14. Civic Memorial blanked Wood River 8-0. Dupo winners over Metro East Lutheran 40-8. And Breeze Modern Day beat Alton Marquette 50-14. And for South Mac, they obviously last year made the playoffs in their first year of existence, but that was on the strength of a really good group of seniors. Obviously, they don't have that this year. Their number's down a little bit, and a rough start for South Mac to the 2018 season.
Yeah, and like you said, last year was just such a Cinderella dream season for them. Ending up in the Bloomington area, Downs Tri-Valley, but coming back from that group of seniors, they knew they had their hands full. They knew that they were going to have a lot of big shoes to fill, and there's going to be some growing pains with that. So I'm sure they're going to be patient, and they're going to keep working those young kids and getting them in there, and they're going to find that first win.
In the WIBC last night, North versus South, which, you know, it's non-conference, but when you got the two-division league, it always makes the quote-unquote non-conference games a little bit more interesting. Greenfield Northwestern shut out Brown County 28-0. Beardstown rolled over Carrollton 40-6. Jacksonville Route beat Calhoun 42-15. Triopia over Pleasant Hill 41-6. Camp Point Central down North Green 60-8. and West Central over Minden Unity 28-20. And Dan, the WIVC is one of those leagues where it seems like every school has a run of three, you know, every 3 to 4 years, there seems to be a different power type of team in that conference.
This is a year I've been really kind of watching Beardstown. I'm talking about they took it to Carrollton last night. We had them 2 years ago, against North Mac when North Mac was on their run. And they were a pesky group of sophomores at that time. They got a running back and it's a difficult name to pronounce and doesn't come to mind right now, but this little guy is lightning in a bottle. And I think they're going to be a force to reckon with in that conference and into November once we get to the playoffs. They're going to be a tough team to beat.
Switching back to the Prairie State Conference, now we have South Mac head coach Brian Borkowski joining us on Sports Saturday. Good morning, coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Hey, we're doing all right. Another tough loss for you last night, 40-7 at Sangamon Valley. And I know that you guys, injury-wise, kind of took it on the chin week one. So how was it week two?
It was okay. We had some guys playing some new positions. They only had a short amount of time to prepare for it. Trent Bertelsmann was a converted wide receiver. He was plugged into the backfield on kind of short notice and had to pick up the offense pretty quickly. Did a very good job. Was making some good reads, ran extremely hard, played both sides of the football at corner and at tailback for us. But never slowed down, never gave up, did a fantastic job. Quentin Kosowski, also a wide receiver, had to convert to quarterback for us to kind of do some things. Had a great game running the ball, throwing the ball. He even scored our lone touchdown on a kickoff return for a touchdown. So I'm really proud of those guys. We're also playing a lot of young people, a lot of young freshmen, sophomores on the line and at the receiver position. And so those kids showed up. They're all hard. They battled. And we took it on the chin, but I have nothing but positives for those young kids.
And when you have that type of youth on the offensive line, that can be challenging in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we looked at coming into this season is the fact that we weren't quite sure what we were going to have offensively on the line. We have a couple of juniors. We have, like I said, a sophomore and a freshman playing as well. Max Schwab is really our only experienced senior offensive lineman, and we moved him to center, which is out of position for him, but he handled that extremely well. Snaps were good all night. He made his blocks. The young kids are battling, and it's difficult. You know, we have Blake Bailey doing a fantastic job for us at a tackle, but, you know, he's an incoming freshman. He has some experience playing football in the JFL system, but going up against the senior defensive end, he's giving it all he has, and he's doing a good job. We switched from the I, which is a pretty offensive line dominant system, to more of a spread where we can hopefully run some zone, things like that, maybe get defenses over pursuing so we can hit the cutback and sort of take some of the pressure off that offensive line.
Coach, you alluded just to the fact that Quentin Kozlowski moved over to quarterback. If I remember right from last year, he did take some snaps at quarterback last year, and he is just such a dynamic athlete that I'm sure the problem is where do we put this athleticism to greater utilize that. Can you talk for just a second about, you know, with him at quarterback, does that change an offensive philosophy or do you kind of stay in the course with what you're doing?
We sort of stay in the course of what we're doing. We followed up with Braden Morris in the backfield at the quarterback position and Quentin on the wide receiver. Quentin is a great playmaker in space, and Braden is a dynamic running quarterback as well. So when Quentin had to transfer over into the quarterback spot, we still felt like we had that athletic quarterback that we could maybe try to do some things with out of the backfield. So he kind of fits that mold. He brings a lot of athleticism to that position. So there was zero drop-off at all when he took that position over. We lost a little bit, though, moving him from receiver. We had to plug some other people in. They're not quite as dynamic on the outside, to replace him. But, yeah, he's a fantastic player. He's probably the most athletic kid we have on the field, and he's capable. When the ball's in his hands, he's capable of doing pretty much anything he wants.
Well, Coach, you finally get to play a conference game next week, but it's still on the road at Pawnee.
It is, and just in kind of looking at Pawnee, you know, I caught a little bit of their Shelbyville film, and I'm not sure. I'm going to have to sit down and watch the film that I traded for this morning, but they look big. They run essentially the same thing that we just saw. A little bit tighter splits. The team that we played last night, Sangamon Valley, ran a double wing, double wide offense with the counters and the rocket sweeps and things like that. But Pawnee looks like they're executing extremely well, so it's going to be a challenge for us. The nice part is the games are getting closer and closer to home, so this is only about a 45-minute trip for us. But, you know, the thing that we talked to our kids about after the game is, yes, you know, we're 0-2, our non-conference schedule, you know, we took a licking, but everything resets when the conference is on the line. So I know that Marquette, as good of a program as they had, they played some tough competition, they're 0-2. East Dalton Wood River, great program, great off, you know, non-conference schedule, they're 0-2. So we're basically trying to say that right now, everybody is 0-0 in the conference, and we just need to get after it and prepare for it and look at it as a brand new season.
That's exactly right. Coach Borkowski, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and enjoy the short bus trip next week.
I will. Thank you, guys.
All right. Brian Borkowski, the head coach of the South Mac Chargers, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. More to do when we come back following these messages.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
David Jenkins, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday, Fighting Illini football coming up in 10 minutes on 105.3 The Ox. Illinois kicks off their 2018 campaign at home against Kent State. Pre-game coverage at 10, kickoff at 11 from Memorial Stadium in Champaign on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. So we'll see what happens to the Illini this year, and it can only go up, Dan.
Well, I read in the paper this week, Lovie Smith says the Illini are ready to play winning football. Now, I'm not completely sure what that means.
That's a broad term right there.
It is a broad term. He didn't say we're ready to win games. He said they're ready to play winning football. So we know what the Big Ten's like, so their plate's full.
But, that, you know, that's where it has to start. It has to start with that mentality. And I remember when we talked to Jacob Bilbrook, we're going to be talking to him here in just a moment, but he talked about the attitude that the Miners had last week at Vandalia. That's where it starts. You get the attitude, you get the mentality, and everything can start moving from there. And Jacob Bilbrook joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, last week you said you liked your attitude at Vandalia, and boy, your team had a lot of that attitude, especially in that first half. You were toe-to-toe with the Cavaliers for the first half of that ball game.
Yeah, I thought we came out the way that we, you know, expected to, and did have a lot of that good attitude that we wanted to see. You know, we had talked, you know, all week long about being a physical football team, and you know, they hung toe to toe there with it for a little bit. You know, we got some things that we need to clean up, but you know, we'll see if we can get some things corrected going in next week. We got another big one next week.
When you're playing an opponent like Carlinville, you know that in a lot of ways you got to play basically a perfect game, but you guys did a great job of executing early, and that fake punt on 4th and 10, that was a great call.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when you're playing in big ball games against good teams, you got to make, you know, risky calls like that and hope they pay off for you. In that case, it did. Kind of gave us a new life, and, you know, it kind of came back to, you know, haunt us a little bit that we couldn't get any points out of that, but, yeah, you know, you talked about it. Anytime you're playing a good team like Carlinville, you know, they've got weapons all over the field. You try to take away one thing, you're susceptible to something else. And, you know, I thought that we came out strong and, you know, did some things that we wanted to do early. But, you know, I think that we've got to get back to playing a full 48 and, you know, when things get tough, you know, you got to kind of buckle down, make the adjustments, and take care of it yourself. And, you know, I think that we definitely got some stuff to clear up.
Coach, even though the drive ended with a missed field goal, I thought that drive you had that started in the first quarter, ended a couple, 3 minutes into the second quarter, those are the types of drives that could become winning drives for a football team.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, those are the types of drives that we expect to have. I mean, we, you know, we're, you know, there's no secret what we try to do. You know, we try to control the clock with some, you know, ground and pound running and, you know, throw when we have to or throw when they allow us to. And, you know, I thought that we did a good job of that early and, kind of got away from it a little bit. You know, kind of had some, missteps, you know, with some blocking assignments and you know, missed tackles there towards the end of the half. And but yeah, those are the types of drives that we need to have and we need to continue to get better at, and you know, hopefully they'll pay dividends for us down the road.
You got the great skill on the outside with Gravanya and Taylor. They both went up along with Devin Strode and made great plays in the football in that game last night. But, boy, your quarterback, Joey Carter, he did a great job, Coach, of hanging in there because he did not have a lot of times last night on his dropbacks to just set his feet and survey.
No, Joey, he's the competitor, and he's one of the toughest kids I've ever coached. And, yeah, you're right. You know, he hung in there the entire game and stuck it out. And, I thought that his attitude was great. I don't really think you can expect anything more from him. He did what he had to do, and pretty proud of that.
When we talked to Chad yesterday earlier, we were just talking about that first half. There was a lot of penalties in that ball game on both sides, and when that's the case, it really is hard to get into a rhythm or a flow.
Yeah, you're right, and he's right too. A lot of penalties early. I think that had a little something to do with the chippiness of it all. I mean, you're talking about two teams that two good teams that don't like each other, and I think that I was. I've got to choose my words wisely here. I think that that the attitude that we talked about last week, I thought that that we came out with some of it, and they responded. The Carnival kids responded well to it, but sometimes whenever you're playing a physical football game, that type of stuff is going to happen. You're going to get a lot of penalties called, and it's whoever responds, and Carnival did, and we didn't.
Coach, you mentioned next week at Pena. That's one of the tougher venues in the South Central Conference to go.
Yeah, another tough game for us. I think that we're going to get back to the drawing board here. I got everybody coming in, right now, and they're lifting a little bit. And, we got some sore guys, but, for the most part, we're healthy. And, hopefully get a couple key players back this week. And, that's something that we're, pretty happy about at this point. You play two physical football teams and two tough games and you can kind of start losing people a little bit, to injuries and things like that. But we're healthy and we're going to make sure the kids have great attitudes, and we're going to go over and expect to get a tough game from Pena and hopefully come out with a W.
Sounds great, Coach. Thanks for a few minutes of your time this morning.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Jacob Bilbrook, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And Dan, you've been around the South Central a long time. When Gillespie has that attitude, and they're that type of physical team, the league is better.
One of my very first assignments was I got sent over to scout either Gillespie or Carlaville, I forget which one, and we had Coach DeBrino on one side, and we had Coach Easton on the other, and there was a point in the game where the two of them were screaming across the field at one another, and it dawned on me, wow, this is cool. This is high school. And that was my initiation into Gillespie-Carlaville football. Coach Bilbrook recovered nicely. But you know what? Traditionally, we've got kids, dads, grandpas, and great grandpas who understand full well what that game means. And, that it's this early in the season is almost kind of criminal, but, that's a great, I bet the kids from Gillespie and Carlaville both, when the schedule comes out, that's the first game they look for is on the schedule. And the chippiness and the aggressiveness of the game, I think it just speaks more to the history and the tradition of that rivalry. And it's one of the South Central Conference really high points, and I'm glad that's continued through the years.
Absolutely. Joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, Patrick Bowman. Good morning, Coach.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Well, you picked up your first win last night, and always good to get that first W.
We did, and like you said, it's always exciting to get that first one, and hopefully we can get some more after this one.
As you look at your team last night, where did you see the improvement from week one to week two?
We did a lot of work all week, especially up front. We had some missed assignments the first week. We've fixed a couple of those mistakes that we made in week one, like every team does. Still had a couple of big turnovers in the first half last night that we'll continue to work on and take care of the football and hopefully keep getting better every week.
Did you come out healthy last night?
We did. We were healthy. It was a tough game. Porta played us tough, and both teams were hitting really well, and I know we were a little sore, but yeah, overall we're a pretty healthy team so far.
Taking a look back to the opening week, you went up to Moreau Forsyth, who has another powerful squad this year. You had to like the way that your kids competed in that ball game.
We did compete, and the big thing we were excited about, our kids
They competed all four quarters from the start of the game till the very last play. That's what we wanted them to do, and we wanted to keep continuing to do each week. But yeah, we were proud of them. They weren't focused on the score at the end. They knew they were just giving every effort they had.
And when you can go into a game like that and come out of it with a loss, but with confidence, knowing, you know what, if we can go up to a place like Marrora and have that type of effort, anything's possible for us.
Yes, and everyone knows the type of program they have. They've got an awesome football program rolling, and anytime you can see some positives out of a game like that, the score didn't really necessarily show how well our team played. We more made our own mistakes to beat ourselves. So yeah, that's always exciting.
And that the first week of the high school football season is always so interesting because there's no preseason, so you don't really know what you have in terms of how the execution is going to be. And when you have an opponent like you had in week one, you get thrown right into the fire. But to be able to bounce back with a nice home win last week against Porta, that is good moving forward. And, of course, in the Sangamo Conference, there's never a week off. It only gets tougher as you go. So you got New Berlin next week.
You betcha. Yeah, and like you say, every week is usually a very impressive opponent. So there is no easy weeks in this conference, and you've got to be ready to play every Friday.
As you now look at your team, you're 1-1 through 2 weeks. I know you take it week to week as a coach, but you've seen nothing the first 2 weeks that makes you think any differently about your team than you thought going in.
Not at all. I'm proud of all of our kids. That's the big thing we started. I'm the new guy coming in, and I thank our kids every day for the effort they give to us, and that's really all we want is just give it all on the field and let the chips fall the way they do.
Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir.
Hey, you bet, guys. Have a good day.
All right, you too. The first-year head coach of North Mac, as we're here on Sports Saturday on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. And Dan, you know this from a coaching perspective. Patrick is the third coach that North Mac's had in the last 3 years, and that can be tough.
It can, and we're going to see where that community, where everything, there's a lot of tradition there. That was a co-op that worked well from the very beginning, but it has gone through some transition over the next couple of years. And we're going to see, and I think what's going to come out in the end is in Coach Bowman, who brings a strong, rich tradition of football into that situation. The combination of his background, combination of the community's support and contribution to the football program, that's a program I'm going to predict lands well on its feet.
Yeah, they're going to be just fine.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, they're playing their home games at Girard this year. They're redoing the field.
Oh, interesting.
Over in Verdon. So they're up in Girard for the home
maybe a bigger press box. You don't have to sit out in the rain.
There's definitely a bigger press box. There's no doubt about it. You got to experience that a few years
ago. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The war on Route 4 a couple years ago when we were there for that state semifinal game, that is truly one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen in high school football around here. That place was lit up and crazy electric on. I mean, it was a cold day, but you expect that the week before Thanksgiving. But, man, that atmosphere was second to none that day.
Well, and they do. They love their football there. And, you know, you go down Route 4, and who doesn't love football in Route 4?
Right.
It's almost like it's a birthplace or something like that. But, yeah, when you get in that deep into the playoffs where there is no next week, and those kids are fight, scratching, and clawing, and there's people ready to come over the fence and help them. And what a fun atmosphere. If you're not doing anything deep in the playoffs and you can catch one of those games, highly recommend making the trip over there.
Yep, it's worth it.
Oh, it's worth it.
Well worth it.
Well worth it.
Looking at some other scores from around the area last night in the Apollo Conference, Taylorville beat Effingham 64-20. Muhammad Seymour over Charleston 49-20. Mount Zion beat Lincoln 13-3. In a non-conference affair, Muscoota over Mattoon 42-7. And then in the Central State 8, we touched on it briefly, Chatham Glenwood springs the upset on Sacred Heart Griffin 27-23. Normal UI, they might have had upset thoughts in their mind, and then they kicked the ball off, and Rochester won 42-7. Lanphier over Eisenhower, 39-6. Springfield High beat Southeast, 45-39. In the Mississippi Valley non-conference play, Marion over Jersey, 29-21. Highland beat Belleville East, 35-7. And Collinsville beat Triad, 48-27. It's weird this year to see those big Southwestern schools playing non-conference games, because remember, Granite City is out of the league. So they've got,
they got to pick up that one game.
Right.
And talk about a David and Goliath, Highland down at Belleville East, just from a population of school size. I think Belleville East is well north of 2,000 students, Highland being somewhere just north of 1,000. So to get that win, that's a big plus for those kids from Highland.
Of course, Highland's had some deep playoff runs here.
And they have, and that, what a confidence booster.
Because
I'm sure even though we know we've been successful, we're going to Belleville East, and there had to be some doubt, you know, just laying and waiting, and they seem to quiet that, and that's a big win for them.
Edwardsville went over to Missouri, played CBC, and took the loss 58-45. So Edwardsville now 1-1 on the year. And it was interesting, in week one, Edwardsville put 63 up. I don't remember who they played now. It was another Missouri school, I do believe. But remember last year, Edwardsville lost the game where they had the running clock going.
Right.
That wasn't
going to
happen again this year.
Yeah, so you never know. And losing the CBC down at CBC, you know, it's going to be a loss in the win-loss column, but, you know, that the experience of playing a caliber team like that, that's something that's going to pay off for the Tigers down the road. There's no doubt.
Yeah, most likely. Other scores around the state last night. Newton beat Sullivan Ocal Valley 49-21. Belleville West topped O'Fallon 47-21. Argenta Orienta 46-14 winners over Macon Meridian. St. Teresa beat River Valley 68-6. Tuscola blanked Arcola 34-0. Warrensburg-Latham over Decatur Lutheran 33-6. El Paso Gridley beat Deer Creek Mackinac 42-22.
Go Comets. Well, Titans. Always a Comet.
Oh, there. You know all about the co-op situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Those darn kids from Gridley.
What are you going to do with them?
Oh, yeah.
Illini West blanked Havana 56-0. Knoxville over Rushville Industry 46-14. Alton winners over Quincy 41-37. The Bunnies of Fisher beat Tremont 26-21, and Nashville beat Massac County 33-0. So that's just a look at some of the scores from around the area last night. And Dan, the football season, it goes so fast. When you sit here next week, we'll be a third of the way done.
And it's crazy because usually at this point we're kind of longing for the cooler weather of September, and it just doesn't even feel right that we've had some pleasant Friday nights to play, and it just feels off almost. But it's been a great start. I think things are starting to play out in the South Central, and things are kind of taking place, and looking for an exciting next few weeks to see who's the haves and who's the have-nots.
We're into extra time here on Sports Saturday. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in just one moment here on WSMI FM 106.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI. We rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk. I won't have a long pause.
Radio is an audio medium.
Is
but
it?
If we had a webcam,
sure?
The look on David's face.
Live radio.
Oh, man.
I wasn't ready.
He wasn't prepared.
No, I was not. You threw it to commercial. I had no commercial ready.
You had no commercial ready. You should have had the commercial ready, but it wasn't ready.
I mean, I had it recorded, but I didn't have it ready to play.
That's
so,
okay. It happens. If that, as Terry Tote would say, if that's the worst thing that happens today, it's going to be a fine day.
It's going to be a good day.
It's going to be a fine day.
I hope so.
But Dan, you had a great comparison to the look on David's face.
Well, yeah, I said I once saw a cat standing in the middle of the road, not sure which way to go with a car bearing down on him. And as I looked over my left shoulder and saw David, it looked kind of familiar.
Yeah. I've seen that look before.
We've all been there, the joy of the live radio program. Here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Dan Newkirk with us. He was in Vandalia last night for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers and the Vandalia Vandals. And I know, Dan, you came away from that game very impressed with Vandalia.
Yeah, I really did. The skill positions that they have, along with the offensive line, which is just absolutely massive, anchored by Anthony Enlow, at guard. He was an all-state wrestler last year at heavyweight as a sophomore. He's in the program at 6'3", 320. And as big as that is, he looks bigger. Mm. And it's just a big team, and he stands out on that team. And he's just such a fun-hearted kid. The band was playing as they got out of the game late as the score. He's on the sideline kind of dancing around, and he's just a fun kid to watch, but very, very impressive game. I'm so looking forward to the Carlinville-Vandalia matchup. I think that's going to be exciting because I think they just have so many similarities, offensively that, I think both defensive coordinators are going to have their hands full with containing those two offenses, and they're both juggernauts, and I'm very impressed.
You know, styles make fights, and there's a good chance that they will be like mirror images. That'll be a Week 7 matchup. Carlinville will travel to Vandalia.
Well, and going into it, I knew that I had some question marks about Gillespie, and I didn't know what a kind of a game they'd have with Vandalia, and then that game being so close, you know, I'm very excited about, and as Gillespie, I'm sure is, playing them so closely. Vandalia's an outstanding squad, which bodes very well for the Miners and what they can do this year, too. That the conference is a head scratcher. I mean, I think we'd all agree we got Carlinville sitting at the top, kind of looking around it and surveying the situation. But when you get past that, and Vandalia maybe being just below that, it's going to be when looking at that 5-4, 6-3 mark to make the playoffs. Playoff points are not going to be an issue, I don't think, in the conference this year. And that 2 or really 3 through 5 spots are going to be very highly competitive and hard fought. It's going to be an exciting year.
You know, over the last number of years, one of the teams that has played Carlinville the toughest has been Pena. Like, Pena just seems to really match up with what Carlinville is doing. That'll be a Week 4 matchup at Carlinville this year. But, you know, you mentioned Carlinville's up there, Vandalia's right there. I'd put Pena in that upper echelon of teams as well, because they might have lost some players from a year ago, but they still have a lot returning, and they're going to be a handful as the year goes along.
Yeah, there's some guys over in blue and white over in Greenville, too, that I'm sure they're kind of playing the chip on the shoulder football, that they're not in those conversations. And I think they're going to be a tough out also. Just really competitive. And you're right, Pena, year in and year out, they're kind of the ugly stepchild. They're always feel insulted. They always feel like it's them against the world, and they play hard. Coach Leif's got them always well conditioned, and ready to play 48 hard minutes. And you're right. They have played Carlinville really, really well. And I'm sure that's one that Coach Easterday is always ready to get done and out of the way, because that's a tough one.
And us against the world mentality is not a bad place to be.
No, it is not. It's not. And it's just an idea that they've perpetuated over the years, whether they're kind of in the corner over there, kind of by themselves anyway, and people complain about driving over there, and I think they take that personally, and they use that to their advantage very well.
You mentioned Greenville, and I would imagine the Comets, like maybe Pena, relishes that now they're not just the extreme focal point of everybody. They had that dominating decade where, I mean, they were as good as a football program and team can be over a 10-year stretch. They absolutely were. And they are still very, very good. Not to the level they were, but you can never look past the Greenville Comets.
Well, and they got Hutch.
Good place to start.
Oh, great place to start. One of the master motivators of all sports in the conference, as far as a coach, and just the support of the community that he carries and holds, you know, and just in the respect that the players have for him. He's coaching a lot of those kids two seasons a year with baseball and football both, and he is definitely an X factor in every football game that he's coaching.
Absolutely. We're going to take one final break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back in just one moment.
And at this time now, we return to Sports Saturday. We rejoin Tim Mize and Dan Newkirk.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you so much. We've enjoyed our conversations with our area football coaches today. We had some messages out to a few more coaches, but, hey, everybody's busy.
Yeah, everybody got kids. We got kids soccer, and JFL is getting ready to kick off and go. So, you know, it's a busy day. Got a beautiful day outside. Good day to go out and play.
Dan, while we got a moment here, talk to us a little bit about the Litchfield Panther golf team.
Oh, well, we're kicked off. We've got 15 boys and 5 girls on the team, so numbers are good. The boys team just competed up in the Greenview Invitational. It's a 17-team invitational. A lot of fun. We get to see some teams we don't normally get to see on a course that's not very familiar with us. We placed 5th as a team out of the 17, so I was really, really pleased. We played last year. Alex Bishop was the individual champion, so that was kind of nice with the 2-over par 74. Anthony Boston led us this year with an 88, which was a little bit of an off day for him. Not a bad day, but a little off day, but the other guy's team really picked up the slack and placed well. So we're off to I'm very happy with what we're doing right now.
And of course, Hillsboro. Ooh. They are so good, Dan.
Well, and they came out of last season looking like the overwhelming favorite in this year. St. Anthony's over in Effingham has really, they've had some just epic wars with them so far this season. Coming down to just a few strokes either way. So that's going to be fun to watch as the season goes on. Keeping them sharp, getting them a reason to go in and work hard. Alex Eichhoff is come back and just playing better than ever. Really having an impressive season so far. But as far as the team goes, them and St. Anthony's are going to slug it out all the way to the end.
And, you know, when a golf match comes down to a couple of strokes, man, does that get intense in a hurry.
Well, and they all do. You look at regional sectionals, advancing teams, it's never more than five strokes. The difference between third and fourth, and that margin is cut, that missed 3-foot putt, that missed chip can make all the difference in the world. And so it's good that Hillsborough's been in some of these early competitions so that when they get to Bloomington and we're at Prairie Vista, they're going to be very aware of the St. Anthony's team. They've competed with them several times already. In fact, in the first 8 days of the season, I think they competed against them twice and then a third time after that. So there's a lot of knowledge about each other, and it's going to be a great matchup.
Then we always talk, you know, football, basketball, baseball, softball, whatever it is. Always talk about strength of schedule and how important it is to play quality opponents to get yourself ready for the postseason. Is that true in golf as well? Because it's such an individual sport and it's so course based.
And you do, and that's a great point. Something I always tell the kids when they get out of the van is, now keep in mind we're not playing the player, we're playing the course. But there is that, and you can tell them that. But you're playing with those guys, and you see the shots they're making, and you're trying to keep up, and that's a lot of pressure. And so when you're in that in a week-to-week basis, Coach Eichhoff does a fantastic job of scheduling those guys in outstanding tournaments. So they're 18-hole ready. Their walk condition is good. Their leg conditioning is outstanding, which is huge in an 18-hole tournament. 36 holes, once you get to state. They changed the format this year. The advancement, not everybody's going to automatically advance from day one to day two. Mm. They're going to take only the top eight teams and the top 24 individuals. So you have to qualify, just like you do in the majors and the other tournaments. You've got to qualify into that final thing. So that adds another hole. Now, I don't think that's going to be an issue for Hillsborough, but it does add another kind of lingering, hanging overhead idea that we can't wait till day two. You've got to put together a day one round just to get to day two. So, again, always trying, IHSI always trying to make things better, make things more competitive. And that's been something that's been coming for years. A question that I had when I heard this was a possibility is what happened if we have a rain out on day one? And what they'll do is just everybody will play on day two, and then that will be the determining factor for places and awards. So a big change in IHSA golf this year, you know, with having to qualify for day two. So just an added wrinkle.
Yeah, when you start walking 18 holes, oh, boy.
Yeah, it creeps up on you. And on Thursday, most kids go play a practice round. Yeah. And so they're going to walk 18 on Thursday, 18 on Friday, 18 on Saturday, and you're not allowed to have a cart in that practice round. So conditioning is a huge part of that. Was a big thing that Alex Bishop, I thought the big difference he made his senior year was he was just in better shape. His golf swing was better. His mentality was better. But physically, he was in better condition. I think that was where he hung his medal on his neck was his physical condition.
Where did he wind up collegiately?
He is at Purdue Northwest. He's up playing, having a great experience, starting classes, had his first qualifying round, going through some freshman woes, as we all did, but learning a new course, a new practice course, playing against guys who have played there before. So, you know, it's that start over again. He's back to the low man on the totem pole, reestablishing himself, and he's going to be okay. He's a very mature young man, and he's going to come through that just fine.
And I would imagine he goes through similar things that all the athletes from right here who go on to play in colleges. You go from big fish in small pond to small fish in big pond.
Absolutely. He's walking into practice saying, "What's your name again?" You know, whereas I went to a match earlier this year, and they asked where Alex Bishop was. So even in absence, his name was still present, and he's now in a place where in presence, his name's not present. So, and it is. It's a very difficult transition that you don't necessarily anticipate. He's there getting some money to play. He's under scholarship. So there's an assumption but it's just not the case. So that is a very harsh transition that athletes have to make. Now, luckily, you know, with playing, having Hillsborough right next door and playing Williamsville, who had a very strong team, some place, he's played good competition week in and week out in this area. So that part, that transition, I don't think is going to be so much. It's just being, like you said, the new kid on the block is in it along with the rigor of the college class, additional study time, which he's always been a very hardworking kid in the classroom. So I think that's going to be, but it's just an accumulation of a lot of more.
Yeah, but he still gets to play free golf, though.
Still gets to play free golf on some very nice courses.
That's right, living the dream.
That's right.
Dan Newkirk, thank you so much for coming in this morning. We'll see you next week, and you will be at Staunton in week three for Southwestern and the Bulldogs.
Very interesting. A very interesting matchup, I think. We're going to have two teams, one coming off a loss in Staunton, one coming off a big win in Southwestern meeting, I think they're going to match up very well. I'm excited about the matchup. I think it's going to be a great game. Tune in.
And in a league where, like you said, playoff points usually not a factor, you just got to get to five. Both are 1-1. So the difference between 2-1 and 1-2 after 3 weeks is monumental.
It's the race to five.
That's right.
It's the race to five. And the faster you can get to that five, the more we can start looking ahead. And so these are pivotal games for these teams to get those wins. And it's very easy for both these teams. I could see being a loss that maybe cost them a playoff experience. So huge game for both Southwestern and Staunton.
Absolutely. That is Dan Newkirk. Thanks to David Jenkins as well. I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done here on WQSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. We've got Fighting Illini football right now on 105.3 The Ox. We'll be kicking it off in about 37 minutes from Memorial Stadium. Illinois taking on Kent State today. Cardinal baseball tonight hosting the Reds, 5:20 on AM 1540 and FM 106.9. If the Cardinals win tonight, it'll be 11 straight series wins, something that has never happened in the illustrious history of the Cardinals organization. So we'll see if the Redbirds can get that done. Thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Have a great weekend.